Oh boy. Oh boy, have I ever done this before.
Yeah, you have.
Oh my god. And what a doing the doing is. When the doing is done.
When the doing gets tough, Steve gets doing.
And it was done.
Good evening, and welcome to the talking show on K-Chung Radio, Chinatown's only...
Solo. El Solo.
Solamente?
Solamente. You know, that trip to Mexico City still hasn't worn off. I'm just jazzed to learn Spanish, so... El Ultimo.
Primo.
El Primo Solicion del Radio.
Radio.
Micro... There's another word for broadcasting, actually.
What is Chinatown in Espanol?
Probably something like... China Villa?
Well, this is the only micro-broadcasting radio station.
No kidding, is it ever.
And
believe it or not, the other micro-broadcasting radio stations tried to lure us away, and we just wouldn't go.
They actually have all been crushed by the FCC, but our enormous underground presence somehow stays underground.
It's
what they don't know is that if you broadcast more than 20 feet, you might get caught. And we stay well within the threshold
of the 20-foot circle around this building.
Right. The halo of safety, as Solomon calls it.
The halo of safety. Solomon Bothwell. Praise unto his name.
Leader. And what I found out just before this, the sculptor of the llama in the lobby.
Oh, the llama sculptors of Solomon Bothwell.
Yeah, Solomon Bothwell is making sculptures these days.
Praise.
Praise be to Solomon.
Praise him. Oh.
So how was your week, Steve?
It was okay. You know, it was nice to get back to normal after all my various peregrinations.
How was your digestive tract?
You know what's crazy is actually everything was fine more or less, but then I suffered from the last few days an immense acid reflux. First time in my life, really.
Oh, really? I get it every so often. Like if I eat a ham sandwich too quickly.
Yeah, never. Okay. Never. Iron stomach.
Yeah.
Eat whatever. No big deal. And this time...
Not pulpo.
No. Fair enough. Not the pulpo. Not that time.
Okay.
That's a word in Spanish I'll never forget. Pulpo. Cacho pulpo.
Okay, so you've rectified everything.
Rectified? I damn near... Yeah, everything seems to be okay. How was your week?
My brother's here.
Amazing.
Yeah. Little Andrew.
Little Andrew Miller.
Yeah, he's actually bigger than me. But that's, you know, splitting hairs, I guess.
Yeah, no one will ever know.
No, not on the radio. So that's nice. We're going to the desert tomorrow. I've always been fond of deserts. Andrew has a growing fondness for deserts.
Uh-huh. The part of Texas you guys come from is not particularly deserted.
No, it's a highly populous kind of hill country.
Deep metropolis.
Yeah, plains and hill country. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the same story when people try to tease like Canadian nature tales out of me. When I'll be like, no, I grew up in a big city. I have never seen, you know, there were no mountains, there were no forests.
No elk.
There were no elk. There was no Santa Claus. It was just like, you know... there were suburbs beyond the city.
Right.
Beyond which there were actually other suburbs.
Huh. So here's a question. So I was looking at the city of Long Beach recently because of my fascination with logistics and the port there. Uh-huh. And I think Long Beach is like the 36th largest city in the United States or something.
Really?
Which is surprising, but I guess you think about it and...
There's a lot of people there. There's a lot of work there.
And outside of the top probably 15, it probably gets pretty competitive.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
So you don't,
that's
you
true.
Know, like you have a couple hundred thousand people and you're in the running.
Yeah, right.
So where does Toronto fit in that
there's
running?
There's about depending on how you reckon it, there's anywhere between 2 and 5 million people.
Okay, so quite a few.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big city. I mean, depending on how large of a metro urban area you go to. It's nothing like Mexico City.
How many there?
Which could be up to 30-something million, depending on how you reckon it.
Wow.
That's the entire population of Canada.
Wow.
In a city.
Right. It's so strange because it's geographically very far south in the country compared to where we are. There's a good deal of Mexico before you get to the populous area.
Isn't that just the truth?
Yeah.
It is wild.
I used to live on the Texas-Mexico border, and we would drive around up there, and there's not much.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. I mean, I think it goes without saying, but it's also a testament to the arrogance of our sort of Anglo-American culture that I just assumed that it was all the same. But in fact, the Norteña sort of culture we have closer to us here and on the Texas border is really something very different than the culture in Mexico City, where they're like, you know, they've been Aztecs forever.
Yeah.
Aztecs.
I learned my first brush with that was in learning about tequila.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Just that, you know, like in my mind, tequila was just that spirit that came from Mexico.
Right.
But it's actually like a highly regulated thing, comes from a particular part of Mexico in the south. And
there's different ways it can happen.
Yeah. And then, you know, up here they make sotol, which is a totally different plant.
Right.
Tastes
totally
very different.
Totally different cactus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never had sotol.
You know, I think supposedly there's quite a bit of variation, but we only, at least the major distributors up here only get a couple different bottles. There's a there's one from Chihuahua City called, I think, Casa de Chihuahua or something that comes in a kind of oblong bottle, which is quite good. But it's the same kind of stuff. They do a Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo, and they
a well-recognized pattern.
Yeah. I'm sure if you had a more refined palate for agave spirits, you'd be able to make a stronger distinction, but nice tequila and nice sotol are pretty similar to me.
Tasting.
Yeah. But I guess I've had much more access to fine tequilas than I have to fine sotols.
Right. Like, it's like the sake situation in the regular liquor store where you're like, oh, there's three kinds.
Yeah. And they're all illegible.
And they're all made in California.
Right. But the bottles are pretty.
The bottles are pretty. And one of them is small and expensive and is white.
Right.
Unfiltered. And those are the only differences.
Right? And that one's scary because you're like not fully sure what it means for it to be unfiltered.
Just means that they leave the rice.
I know. But as a novice, you wonder. When it comes out milky, you wonder.
It's jizz. So, on that blue note, today we're continuing a sort of vague trajectory where we realized that there was in fact an incredible color barrier in the programming at the talking show.
Embarrassing color barrier.
Somehow we had let that slip. Our guard dropped. And so to sort of try and bulldoze our way through the race question, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is one of the most famous tacklers of the American race question ever. The one and the only.
The boisterous.
The irrepressible. Richard Pryor.
Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Pryor.
No, motherfucker. What's the matter with my leg? My dick hard. Sound like a white boy asked that question, don't it? What's wrong with your leg? Golly! I tell you, you know, this country's a goddamn good place to live in. fucking A, better believe it, buddy. America's my home. I don't give a fuck. You love it or leave it, goddammit. My fucking forefathers, we come over to this fucking place, I'll tell you what, wasn't shit here. Goddamn bunch of Indian hooping and hollering, making fucking noise all over, buffalo shit laying around. Cleaned this goddamn place up. Made it what it is today. You better fucking A believe it. Hillbillies fuck good now. Now, come on. Let's fess up. Hillbillies, they make noise when they fuck right. Hot damn! Here it comes! Hang on! Yeah! Yeah! There really is a difference between white women and black women. And I've dated both. Yes, I have. Black woman, get on your right. What? Yeah, see, already done. Right on. Ain't gonna give me no pussy, but right on. Right on, motherfucker. Beg me.
I'd rather you not had no pussy. You gotta fuck a white one.
Now, fuck you. I'm gonna fuck. But white women take more shit. Like, you be at home, you know, and shit. You get ready to go out, you say,
I'm going out, baby. Take it easy.
Okay. Have fun. Doodaloo.
You say that to a black woman, the bitch start dressing too. That head to move. Yeah, motherfucker. Yeah, you right. Yeah, just try to do something to me, nigga. Bitch, I'll knock you down. Where we gonna be some fight, motherfucker? And you talk about kicking a black woman ass, they different. They don't play that shit to me.
Yeah, motherfucker, where to be some ass kick. Yeah, but your mama gonna know about it, nigga.
Hey. White women fight like, oh, please. Oh. Black women doing, yeah, motherfucker, come on. Yeah. And may knock you out. White women, they freak you too. White women suck your dick right away. Black women, you have to beg them for months to get some head. You be begging 2 and 3 months. Say, babe, how about tonight? But you promise. You say, if I wait 2 months, fuck how? I'll just try it. Shit. Don't matter, just don't bite. White women give it up so sweet. You know, they give it up so sweet. No, 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 no. You know, you suck on their pussy and shit, they lick their fingers and shit. Yeah. Yeah, good. Black woman, you be sucking their pussy and say, wait, nigga, what shit? Yeah. A little more to the left, motherfucker. You gonna suck the motherfucker, get down. White women, if they don't come, they say,
it's all right. I'll just lay here and use a vibrator.
Now, black women, talk about your ass. Well, nigga, that's some sad dick. What, is that it? No, you got to grind in my pussy. Oh, well, nigga, fuck me, shit. Don't put my legs down, motherfucker. You said pussy, not stomach. Cause niggas try to hurt a pussy boy. Niggas act like pussy is the last thing they ever gonna get.
When they be fucking your motherfucker. We had a game. If you didn't have ringworm, you was a punk. Remember when niggas with ringworms used to wear stocking caps with a hole where the ringworm was? Nigga have covered all over here, but the ringworm be open. See, why don't you put the stocking cap on the ringworm, motherfucker?
I'll kick your ass. This ain't ringworm. There's some on the cap.
That was a qualification. You had to have ringworm and be able to fuck a dog.
Thank you, boy.
Had to do like that in our gang. Used to tell jokes. Could not tell jokes and shit. Clifford used to tell good jokes, you know. But Bubba was a nigga that could not tell a joke. Right? You know them kind of niggas just can't tell a joke. But you have to laugh anyway, you know. Because nigga will hurt you, you know. Like Clifford tell this little joke and shit, you know. Yeah, so there this man. The dude was in school. Little Johnny joke. Then check this out. So little Johnny in school. And the teacher asked a question. Say, what's the most interesting thing ever happened, you know? And was a young lady in there, Mary. Mary said, my mother and father went on vacation all alone. That was cool, you know. Check that. So they come, little Johnny, teacher say, little Johnny, what's the thing happened to you, you know? So little Johnny say, well, my brother was in Vietnam, got shot in the ass. The teacher say, hey, freeze, freeze. You know, don't say ass, say rectum, you know. You know, little Johnny say, rectum shit, it killed him.
Yeah. And but hey, wait, I got one. I did this. I got one. Check this out. There's a dude, two hoes, right? Check this out. Dude went in the whole house and his dick was out, right? And he go, no, wait, that's not it. Wait, here's it. Dig. No, dig. The dude go into the whole. No, there's two nuns. Check this out. Check this, bro. Two nuns was going down the street and the nun had a dick, right? So the dude. No, the two dudes, dig this, the two dudes. Two dudes dressed like nuns, right? And they go in the whole house and the dicks came out.
That's a funny motherfucker, ain't it, bro?
And you go, yeah, bro, that's funny shit, yeah. Woo, shit, that's so funny.
We are...
here today
to celebrate this year of bicentenniality. In the hope of freedom and dignity, we are celebrating 200 years of white folks kicking ass. Now, white folks have had the essence of disunderstanding on their side for quite a while. However, than ever, we offer this prayer. And the prayer is, how long will this bullshit go on? How long?
How long?
How long? How long will this bullshit go on? That is the eternal question. Men have always asked, how long? When man first got here, he said, how long will these animals kick me in the ass?
How long before I discover fire and stop freezing to death? We always here in our church of understanding and unity have tried to figure out how long. Now say in the Bible, we will know how long when an angel come up out to sea. He will have seven heads and a face like a serpent and a body like a lion. I don't know about you, but I don't want to see no motherfucker look like that. If I see him come up out the water, I'm going to shoot him in the air. We're only making one collection this year. And we ask that this year you donate 500 or 600. And we ain't gonna fuck with you no more. Won't be around your house asking for shit or nothing like that. Let us offer, as the choir sang, that old Negro I'd spit you. I will see. Or we will see. Whichever the case may be, if you're singing alone, it's I will see. If you sing with peoples, it's we will see. See, the shit work out right. They've been rehearsing. Go ahead. We will see. 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 That was lovely. That was lovely. Yeah, before I spend some more money on rehearsal, we will see.
Bring me some shit like that.
Now, I'd like to make some apologies to you because last Sunday, a spiritual thing happened. Nice family, the Walker family, brought in their son. They asked me, said, can you heal our son? Well, I apologize because he's a big waterhead boy. And I wasn't going to touch the motherfucker. I'm telling you that. Little nigga had a big head about this big. And they wheeled him in, his head was bobbing back and forth. I was not about to touch that motherfucker. I'm telling you. Because that shit is contagious. I said, don't get a nigga a big hat or something. Leave me alone. And some of the deacons come down on me for that. And like to say to the crippled peoples that come here, can't you find another church to go to? God damn, you come in knocking shit down and breaking up furniture and shit. Learn how to crawl, shit. And you deaf and dumb motherfuckers, you motherfuckers that can't talk, we don't need your help. All that hoo-hoo shit, kiss my ass. They got schools for you to go to. Go learn how to speak, goddammit. Shit. Also, there's some discrepancy about the baptisms last month because 3 or 4 people drowned. They was old peoples. I did not know a couple of them had asthma. I just put him under a little wire. I thought the bubbles were from the spit. I don't like movies when they don't have no niggas in them. I wanted to see Logan's Run, right? They had a movie of the future called Logan's Run. Ain't no niggas in it. I said, well, white folks ain't planning for us to be here. That's why we gotta make movies. And we be in the movie. But we gotta make some movies, some really hip movies, because pimps, we done made enough movies about pimps because white folks already know about pimping. Because we the biggest hoes they got. I'd like to introduce a lady just finished doing the Angela Davis story. She does Shakespeare and stuff. I love when niggas can do just everything. This lady can do just all the shit. She ain't just no poop butt. Bitch, bring your Shakespeare. I saw her in King Lear with him. Bitch, was talking about that book that. Shakespeare may have been the greatest, but the motherfucker wrote funny. I'll see the thorn I fit it. Hearth I turn into the follow.
It's hard, I heard that say
that. That was her part.
It's hard, I heard that say that.
This is a beautiful lady, Miss Rosalind Cash. Bitch is fine, too. Won't give me no parts of pussy, man. I have bathed for the pussy 7 years. Just please, Rob, just let me smell it or something. Give me a whiff of the pussy or something. You know. Just so I can lie on you or something. You know. Also, like to introduce a brother. Brother is a novelist. Shit. Writes books. You know, that part I got right. Motherfucker writes some books. Nigga, hell of a writer. And a good friend, and a good art. She wrote Lying Love, Mr. Jive Ass Nigga. That was the book, Honest on the Real Side, Mr. Cecil Brown. Nigga with Rosalind, motherfucker. Nigga got plenty of problem for me. I said, why, did you get to smell it? Nigga won't tell you, he keep laughing.
I don't want to hurt you, kid.
Like to introduce another friend. You all don't mind me introducing people. You ain't got nothing to do. Because you motherfucker go outside, your car been towed away. I'd like to introduce a lady that sang her ass off, and she's a really nice person, and beautiful, she's pretty ass, and a lovely voice, and she's elegant, and really represents some beautiful womanhood, Miss Natalie Cole. Put the lighting shit on, motherfucker! Hey, with the lights. There's a nigga. See, niggas don't know where the bitch at me.
Don't be introducing no fakes, motherfucker.
Nigga, you don't even know the lady.
There she is. You the lying motherfucker. There's a lady that stayed over for the next show that was in the first show who was really beautiful. Miss Minnie Rippleton. Minnie Rippleton came. Well, Minnie Rippleton once said to me, Dick got hard right away. Right? Cause you know if you can fuck a bitch and hit that note, bro, it just fuck you up, don't it? Is it good?
How about Miss Rudolph?
How about your mama? war. Go on. M-P-O-R. Illinois. That's where I was born. There was an old man. Name was Mudbone. Was born in Mississippi. Tupelo. And Tupelo? It's near Wamelo. And he used to sit out in front of the barbecue shop and he dipped snuff. That's right, he had a little can, Folgers can, coffee can. And he dipped snuff in his spit. That's why I know Manson ain't gonna get out of jail. As long as they make coffee, that motherfucker be in jail. So, he was telling me a story. See, I used to listen to him because he's fascinating. Yeah, he'd tell you all kind of shit. See, he'd been had great love affair. That's right, he had a woman. He loved her very much. Had a height of those. See, because she fucked around on him. And then I knew she was fucking around going, I leave home, go to White. I come back home, toilet seat be up. They don't know bitch in the wild piss with the toilet seat up. So I knew somebody was in the motherfucker. So I set a little old trap for his ass. Went to White early. You know, I always did get up early because I like to hear the birds and shit. Yeah, you get up early, you can hear them talk to you. They tell you what happened last night. So I walked to White. Used to walk down Jefferson Street and fought all the way to the bus stop. Me and another nigga named Rainbow Johnson. That nigga could fart too, see? He could double his up though, you know. My fart would just draw it out, you know. Precise shit, you know. Nigga could do Yankee Doodle, you know. Particular morning, went on the White, set my trap for this girl. Yeah. She was pretty too, locked up. Sweet as she could be, you know, breast milk like carnation milk. That's right. Yeah. So I knelt the college seat down, yeah. And I doubled back, and I caught that nigga trying to lift it up. Well, nigga, send your soul to heaven because your ass is mine up in heaven. And she jumped all in front of him, you know, I had to knock her out the way. I didn't hit her hard, I just moved her out the way. Like that, the nigga hit me. Now I'm mad he's fucking my bitch and don't hit me too. And I was real strong in them days, see? That's right, I was strong enough, just enough to pick up my pistol and shoot that nigga in the ass. And I shot that nigga everywhere, too, boy. Everywhere that nigga grab, I shoot him somewhere else, make him grab over there. That shit tore his ass up, too. And then say, whoo, ah, got that. Nigga run all out in the streets and shit. Too honored to die, you know. Niggas used to didn't die in them days like they do now. See, now you shoot a nigga, he just fall over. You know? Ain't niggas ain't made out of what they used to be made out of. You could stab a nigga 4 or 5 times, wouldn't hurt him, you know? Nowadays, you cut a nigga and shit on himself. My old partner, nigga of mine named Tunham, bad nigga, boy, used to fight all the time. That's what his favorite thing. He loved to fight. But his mother used to fuck with him, man. He'd be out after hours fighting. This was way back a long time ago, around 1924. During the drought and shit. You know when they had the great drought? Wasn't no cows and shit. Because drought killed them motherfuckers. They're out there drinking dust. You know? That's how thirsty you can get. See, your motherfucker can get so thirsty he'll grab a handful of dirt. Try to drink that shit, you know. That thirst is something else. See, when I was in World War I, we was in Vassar. That's right. I was working in a hospital ward, and I probably moved a little crime savings. And I worked over there, I was treating the boys with that mustard gas and shit all over. Niggas used to come from the front, boy, that mustard gas eat holes in your ass. Nigga didn't have the mask on. I said, motherfucker, why don't you put your mask on? You know, he said, well, I don't trust these white folks. They may be trying to, you know, trick us or something, you know. I want the bitches to see what I look like, you know. I had a good time over there, too, boy. Wall to wall put you over there, nigga. That's right, they love the shit out of niggas. Oh, sweet sister. That's what they used to say. Polly, who comes? How do you say? So I come back here after the war, had medals and shit, plenty of medals for working in the hospital. You know, I took them. Come back here and I moved out to California because I was going to get in the motion picture business. See? Come out here, was in the paper, said, we want stars. But shit, I knowed I was a star, you know. Natural born, because I couldn't do nothing. So I come out here and went for this audition. Now dig that. Went for this audition, the motherfucker said, for King Kong. And he gave me the script. I didn't know what the story was. So King Kong said, I don't mind being a king. Said, shit, that's a pretty good part, you know. Change that motherfucker's last name, you know, to William or somebody, you know. A little Chinese, that Kong chick, you know. The director, you know, he said, well, I don't believe you understand what I'm trying to say. This is a movie about a gorilla. I said, well, you got the wrong nigga, motherfucker. So I ain't no motherfucking gorilla. And don't appreciate you calling me up in here. That's right, I took the script, threw the motherfucker down. Them motherfuckers had me out there so bad. Motherfucking Dirk didn't even get on the rug. He snatched me right out like that. You know? And I had one of them banana knives I used to always carry. I whooped that motherfucker out about this long, had a hook in it like that. I slapped that motherfucker across the arm, see? And the motherfucker thought it was my arm. And he saw the arm laying on the ground, he started laughing. See? He laughed till he seen that motherfucker pointing at him, you know. Then he looked over, seen his shit was gone, he fell out. And I got on the next freight train, went all the way back home. Come back here to Peoria. That's why I've been here ever since, sitting out here, just bullshitting kind of. I'm an international nigga though. When you grow up, what I want you to do is take care of yourself, save your money. See, I saved my money. I got the money. I worked 35 years, get a retirement pension, and a nice piece of money. $35, $40 a month. All right, see, and I don't be jacking it off either. Boy. I buy a little whiskey, a little wine, you know what I mean? A little push every now and then. Had some boy almost died. Girl gave me what they call it, head. Girl damn near killed me, boy. My heart and shit was fluttering like that. I said, please, daughter, I'll give you $10 just to stop. Shit.
gonna kill me up in here. I went to the Chinese restaurant in New York, and the bitch I was with said there was hair in her food. You know, I said, where's the hair, baby? She said, right here. I said, well, fuck it, we ain't gonna pay for that shit. Hey, man, come here, man, some hair in the food. I don't have no food! I said, no, motherfucker, there's some hair in the food. I don't say, oh, hell! I said, yeah, motherfucker, there's some hair. What the fuck you talking about? Take this shit out the way. And the bitch talking about, oh, it's all right. Shut up, bitch. It was all right. Why didn't you eat the shit? I said, I ain't paying for shit. Come on, let's get the fuck out of here. And we was leaving. The motherfucker grabbed me. But he didn't grab me like motherfuckers grab you, because we'd have been fighting all night. They know that karate and shit. Guess how much was that? Gave the motherfucker a tip and everything else. Because I heard bones and shit snapping. I took some acid once too. White dude gave me some. At a party, dude said, this is far out. I said, well, what is the shit?
It's far fucking out.
I said, well, give me the shit, motherfucker. That ain't shit.
It'll have you tripping.
Hey, get the fuck out of my face. Trip that, motherfucker. You know, about 20 minutes later, I was at the party, you know. Hey, blood, what's happening, home? Hey, no, girl. You got it? Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Oh man, ain't nothing to it. White dude gave me some shit talking about I'm gonna be tripping. I ain't going no place without my luggage.
To get the fuck out of here.
It was far out.
I'm gonna die. I don't even know who the fuck I am. I'm gonna die. Hey, 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 I'm gonna die.
Open the pod doors, Hal. Hal? Open the pod doors. Hear me, Hal? Open the pod doors, Hal. Wait, I can't do that. Hal? Thank you. Rogers Hell 9000. I was invented in 1992. My teacher played the song. Would you like to hear it? Yeah. Yes, Hal, sing it. It's called Day. 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 You.
Took me 5 years to come down off of that shit. Black humor started. It started in slave ships. Cat was always really rowing. Do say, what you laughing about? Yesterday I was a king. I'm having a bicentennial, 200 years. Go have a bicentennial, nigga. They will. They have some nigga 200 years old in blackface. Stars and stripes on his forehead. Eyes. Lips disenchanted. And he'll have that lovely white folks expression on his face. But he's happy.
He's happy because he's been here 200 years. Said, I'm just so thrilled to be here. Over here in America. I'm so glad y'all took me out of die, homie. I used to live to be 150. Now I die of high blood pressure by the time I'm 52. And that thrills me to death. I'm just so pleased America's gonna last. They brought me over here in a boat. There's 400 of us come over here. 360 of us died on the way over here. I love that. That just thrills me so. I don't know, you white folks are just so good to us. Got over here, another 20 of us died from disease. Ah, but you didn't have no doctors to take care of us. I'm so sorry you didn't. Upset you all some too, didn't it? Then they split us all up. Yes, sir, we took my mom over that way, took my wife that way, took my kids over yonder. I'm just so happy. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do if I don't get 200 more years of this. Lord of mercy. Yes, sir. I don't know where my old mama is now. She up yonder in that big white folks in the sky. Y'all probably done forgot about it. But I ain't gonna never forget it.
Wow. Way to go, Dick.
Yeah. Wow. What great talking, Richard.
Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea.
About what?
That he could be so vicious.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that is like the darkest. That's maybe that and the Wallace Shawn are the two darkest things we've had on.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. What about Cast?
Not the same. No, the I liked Cast, but the cushy Euro feeling is not the same thing.
Right. They went to Moon Juice after.
Moon Juice is a really controversial topic, but yeah. You know. Yeah, it's a different. It's from a different. It's actually from another planet.
Right. You know, I was surprised at how many dad jokes he snuck in.
What do you mean?
Well, somebody once accused me of telling dad jokes.
Uh huh.
Not unreasonable.
Like puns. That's what you mean, essentially.
I guess that's what I was trying to deconstruct with you right here.
Okay. Okay.
Is a dad joke just a pun?
What was an example of one of the dad jokes that Mr. Pryor snuck in.
Yeah, I don't go tripping without my luggage.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think it's interesting. There was a news item earlier this week, which was what spurred me to invite Richard Pryor onto the show.
Oh.
Where his wife was recorded about the Bill Cosby scandal. And she said that her quote, as I read it, was Bill Cosby was a piece of shit. He fucked anything that moved, and everyone knew it.
Did they print it that way?
No, they bleeped out the things, but okay. But that's what she said, and she said that she wasn't aware that he was, you know, drugging people for sex, but that she wasn't surprised when she learned about it, given his appetites and how he was always, Cosby had always been so hard on Richard Pryor for having such a, you know, blue act, for using such foul language.
Hmm.
When, you know, it's sort of the exact opposite, like pretending to be so squeaky clean while simultaneously, you know,
doing awful things.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, and she was very unsparing in her criticism of Cosby for that. And so I feel like in a weird way, like, or not in a weird way, I think just even in terms of being a sort of on different ends of a comedy spectrum, the dad jokes are sort of a weird dodge at including one kind of comedy in the devouring it within the body of your own comedy.
Right.
Because it's like, that's all in the service of this other bigger joke.
Mm-hmm. That can't hold a candle to the dad jokes. I mean, the vice versa.
What do you mean?
The dad jokes get absorbed by the
right.
By
yeah,
the
yeah. Heavy, they're just heavy sucked hitting. Into yeah. the in, into the sort of yeah. larger, generally chaotic maelstrom of the whole other thing. There's a lot of other really great Richard Pryor material that you know, we didn't have time to feature. But he did an amazing bit about the time that he set himself on fire freebasing cocaine. And, you know, in a world of sort of like celebrity apologies for their various wrongdoings, he was really unsparing about it. He was like, you know, like, freebasing cocaine is the greatest. It feels totally awesome.
It feels really nice. Try not to light yourself on fire.
However, I was in a desperate place that led me to that position, and set myself on fire, and kept making jokes at his own expense. You know, like he showed up on stage and asked for a light,
right,
and things like that. And it was just the kind of thing that, like, you really can't. I could. It very few comedians will actually, like, reflect on their own public image that way. It's the kind of thing that's really outrageous, I think, as work goes.
This type of humor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, like, other comedians we've had on the air, when we had Steve Martin on, for example, you know, also a hero of mine, but, you know, he confines all of his comedy to this one sort of stereotype of being a white nerd.
Right.
Essentially. But that in no way actually reflects on, like, apparently Steve Martin's this genius. You know, like, actually in personal life, and he has these hobbies and interests that are completely discontinuous with his white nerd
right
lifestyle.
He's mastered comedy, but is it dilettante otherwise?
Yeah, he's also mastered the banjo, you know, like, okay. He won a Grammy. He's won Grammys for his I think he has won more Grammys for his banjo playing than he has won for his comedy.
Wow.
Even though, like, I think, you know, Wild and Crazy Guy was, like, the best-selling comedy record of all time or something like that, or at least of the 70s.
Still not as good as banjo records, I think, in terms of sales.
Yeah, he might have actually sold more banjo records.
Yeah.
Americans love that stuff.
They do. Especially the middle part of the country.
That large middle part. Yeah. I wouldn't know anything about it.
I know too much.
Any other thoughts?
You know, I this is a very simple insight, but I kept thinking during Richard's performance how much comedy, or at least good comedy, is like my least favorite part of the talking show, being, which is music.
Uh-huh.
There's a, you know, like such a clear structure to a good joke.
Right.
You know, it's like
not a Allegro form.
And in that way, it reminded me more of music than even our more musical guests.
Huh. So you were just like that aware of the intense structure.
I was like, okay, here's the lead up. Here's the dad joke that, like, you know, for a slight chuckle, here's a little, like, more plot.
Right.
And he's going to hit you, and then he's going to, you know, he keeps that coming. Kind of like the end of a Beethoven.
Right.
Don't, 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 don't. You know, it's kind of like back and forth, like let you know it's really over.
Yeah.
You can really kind of revel in your pleasure a bit longer.
Right. Or as in the case of the last bit, you're like weird discomfort. At, like, the legacy of slavery, for example.
Which actually had music in it.
Yeah.
Just regular music, yeah.
Yeah. It was also, I feel like, a studio production.
Yeah. No, the band's here. You didn't...
I thought that was coming out of his phone.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That was coming out of Richard's smartphone.
I was just messing with the guests there.
Nicholas. Anyway, it's closing in on 1 o'clock in the morning. Here in Chinatown, if the FCC wasn't onto us already, that 45 minutes of extremely hot language will probably set their ears a burning.
Well, I think the deal is that the FCC only follows K-Chung on Wednesday nights. And as it turns out,
right,
we're this a Thursday, is Thursday morning show.
Thursday morning. They stopped listening right after Too True, which is primarily an instrumental radio show.
That's how we've gotten away with this for years.
4 years. They would have shut us down after the Wallace Shawn thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Wednesday night. Hello, Thursday.
This is your Thursday morning, early morning wake up. This is the Drive Time Show. You're here with Steve Cato and
Nicholas Miller.
That's right. Get ready to start your commute to San Diego.
For your genetics job?
Your genetics job, yeah. Pack up the kids, get them off to the early, 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 early morning program at the school in Valencia and start getting on the 5 because the traffic's already thickening up.
Yeah.
You'll get to San Diego sometime around 8.
Or, you know, you can text Elon, see if he wants a coffee.
Text Elon, get on the hyperlink, and sleep in for another hour.
Exactly.
We'll be here playing all the William Joel you can handle here at the K-Chung Drive Time Morning Show.
Good morning, Los Angeles.
Namaste. Namaste.